My plea that the message of the Quran be widely spread. May the flag of Islam become more elevated than the red.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله أو بلو النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم has said that a person who sends one time durood or salutation or salawat upon me, Allah Azza wa Jal sends 10 mercies upon him. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatun wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, once again, we are blessed with this wonderful opportunity to participate in this beautiful silsila of Madani channel, Blessings of Quran. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, in this silsila we will discuss the ayat number 154 of Surah Al-Baqarah, in which Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٌ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Those who are slain in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, do not call them dead. Rather, they are alive and you do not understand. The shan-e-nuzul, or the reason for the revelation of this ayat, is that in the battle of Badr, Muslims were 313 against the kuffar who were 1000. And Muslims did not have many resources to fight that war, and as far as the kuffar are concerned, they had everything which required to fight a war. And the result of that war was that Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Muslims were victorious and kuffar were defeated. And when people used to talk about them, especially even Muslims, when they were talking about those shuhada, there were about 14 people who were martyred in the Battle of Badr. So people used to talk about them and they used to say, so and so died in the battle. And this was the language of Muslims at that time. And as far as hypocrites are concerned, they used to say that these Muslims are mad people. They don't have much weapons and other necessary things which are required to fight a war. Just for the pleasure of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they go and waste their lives. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this ayah kareema, that those who are killed in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, they are not dead. They have not wasted their lives. They are alive and you don't have the understanding. You don't have the capacity and capability to understand their life. So in this ayah kareema, Allah Azza wa Jal says, O Muslims, those who are at the highest level of sabr, And who are those who are at the highest level of sabr? They are shuhada, those who have been killed in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Do not call them that they are dead. They are alive, just like the way you have the sense of life and you feel the life. In this ayah kareema, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped us from calling shuhada that they are dead. And in another ayah kareema, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا. That do not think that those who have been killed in the path of Allah, they are dead. So from here we understand that the life of shuhada is yaqeeni and it's real. Therefore, we are ordered not to call them, they are dead. And as far as sabilillah, the word sabilillah is concerned, which is used in this ayah kareema, it can have many meanings. The one who tries to remove an obstacle from the path of success and development of Islam, he is shaheed, and that's the path of Allah. Similarly, a person dies in order to fight with kuffar because they don't want azan to take place, they don't want namaz or salat to take place, or if they want to stop durood-e-paak upon beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a Muslim fights with them and he dies. He died in sabilillah, in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. The meaning of shaheed, or the literal meaning of shaheed, is present or witness. But in the technical meaning of Sharia, shaheed is that baligh, an adult Muslim, who has been killed oppressingly, and because of that there is no blood money made compulsory upon the killer, and that person is called shaheed. And there are many reasons to call him shaheed. One is that other Muslims, they will enter paradise after they are set free from accountability and other procedures which would take place on the day of judgment, and then they'll go to paradise. And as far as shaheed is concerned, as soon as he dies, he enters paradise. And other Muslims, when they are in the graves, a window is open from Jannat for them. And as far as shaheed is concerned, as soon as he dies, he enters paradise. And he moves around in Jannat, and he also eats the rizq and the fruits and the sustenance which he gets in the Jannat. The second reason is that he is called and he is presented in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he said, if you have any desire, you can tell. And he says, I want to go back in the dunya, and I want to get the taste of shahadat again. Then the order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, that we have tested you once, and we will not test you again. So because he is presented in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the meaning of shaheed is the present one, and for that reason, he is called shaheed. another reason, or the third reason, is that general Muslims will be witnesses for Anbiya alayhi salam on the day of judgment, but Shaheed is like a state witness. Like in some cases, police or intelligence or doctors, they come as state witnesses and they give their evidence. Or there could be another reason that in the dunya, other Muslims, they give evidence with their tongue, evidence of Islam or haqqaniyat of Islam or the truthfulness of Islam. They give with their tongue, with their pen. But Shaheed is a person who gives evidence of Tawheed and Risalat and about the message of Islam and about the haqqaniyat and the truthfulness of Islam with his blood. Because every drop of his blood is saying La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Because of this great evidence, he is called Shaheed. Many people are regarded as Shaheed in Islam. Even if a person who dies while looking after his wealth, his family, his children, and in that struggle and effort, if some robbers come and they kill him, he becomes Shaheed. But Shaheed fi sabilillah is that person who dies while defending deen, while protecting deen. Shaheed are of two types, Shaheed fiqhi and Shaheed hukmi. Shaheed fiqhi is that Muslim who is aqil, baligh, and then he is killed oppressingly with a weapon which is made to kill people. Or he got injured and without taking a rest or any treatment, he died. He will not be given ghusl, nor he will be given kafan. With those stained clothes with blood, namaz-e-janaza would be performed on him and he would be buried. That is the hukm and the ruling of Shaheed fiqhi. And as far as Shaheed hukmi is concerned, these rules of fiqh would not be implemented upon that person. He would be given normal ghusl and kafan, but in the akhirat, on the day of judgment, he'll get the status of shahadat. For example, a person who dies drowning in the water, or he died because he was burnt in the fire. Shahadat has many virtues and it is a very great station in Islam. It's a very great institution. And Shaheed is very close to Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jal. The wafat or passing away from this dunya of a Nabi does not break his wuzu. And dying of Shaheed does not break his ghusl. Anbiya are alive after they taste the death. And Shaheed is also alive after he has been killed in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Nabi gets rizq, sustenance, after wafat, after tasting the death. And Shaheed also gets sustenance after he is being killed in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Shaheed is protected from the questions of grave. Shaheed leaves this world pure from sins. As a baby is born from the stomach of his mother, that there are no sins on the baby, likewise there are no sins upon the Shaheed when he dies. Shaheed sees Jannat before death. When he is attacked and he is about to die, Jannat is shown to him. Shaheed will intercede 70 people, subhanallah. And the amal, the action of Shaheed and his rizq, his sustenance, will continue till the day of Qiyamah. Shaheed would be saved from all worries on the day of Qiyamah. A soldier is always loved by the king because he protects the country with his blood. So likewise, a ghazi, a mujahid, or a shaheed is loved by Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal because he protects the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal with his blood. Like in the dunya, in the states, in the governments, there are many departments, and every department has a name and they have special uniform. Similarly, in the kingdom of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are many departments. Departments of ulama, awliya, ghazi, shaheed. And then there are many branches of these departments. For example, in the department of ulama, there are fuqaha, there are muhaddithin, there are mujtahideen, there are mufassireen. And in the department of Vilayat, there are Ghaus, there are Qutb, there are Abdal, and many other categories of Awliya Allah. And likewise, it's a special department of those who are in struggle, those who are busy protecting the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. They are called Ghazi. And likewise, Shuhada, the martyrs. Governments normally will give a lot of favors to the soldiers, and when they are killed, they would look after their orphans and their widows. And besides the normal salary, soldiers are given food and clothes and many other extra facilities. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very kind and very loving upon those who are in the struggle in defending the deen of Allah azza wa jal, and those who are martyred in the path of Allah azza wa jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows His mercy upon them, that from this temporary life, He take them into everlasting life. And because of their sacrifice and because of what they have done to defend the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends special mercy upon his family as well. It is mentioned in Tafsir Ruhul Bayan that there are two souls in every person. One soul is called Ruhe Sultani, and its station is heart. And person stays alive with this soul. Second soul is called Ruhe Hewani, and its station is brain. And this soul helps person to stay conscious. When person sleeps in this state, Ruhe Hewani leaves the body. And at the time of death, Ruhe Sultani leaves the body. So Ruhe Hewani leaves the body very often, but Ruhe Sultani leaves the body once only, and that's the time we say a person is dead. So in other words, when Ruhe Hewani leaves the body, we call that state sleeping. And when Ruhe Sultani leaves the body, we call that state death. And when Ruhe Hewani leaves the body and person is in the state of sleep, Ruhe Hewani visits many places, and that's what is called dream or khab. But it has strong connection with the body still. Like a plug has a connection with the powerhouse. So as soon as you put it on, the electricity from the powerhouse will come and start doing its function. So as soon as you shout loudly or you touch the body of that sleeping person, the Ruh will come immediately back and person will wake up. So similarly, after death, Ruh is connected with the body. So that's why when you go to the qabr and you read Fatiha, Ruh knows and understands who you are and what are you doing for that person. So from here we understand that maut or the death is not the name of total destruction of the body and the soul. Only thing that has happened is the connection, the ta'alluq, the relationship of Ruh is weakened with the body. Now the Ruh does not nourish that body. That's the reason that after death, body is decomposed. But because some connection does stay with the body, that's the reason that those who are pious, they find pleasure in the qabr, because a window is opened for them from paradise. And people, those who are kuffar, they get azab and punishment. And who feels that rahat, who feels that comfort, is the soul. And who feels that punishment and that pain is the soul. As it is mentioned in Hadith Mubarakah, Al-Qabru Rawdatum min Riyad al-Jannah wa Hufratum min Hufarin Niran. Qabr is garden from the gardens of paradise, or it is ditch from the ditches of hell. Also keep in mind that Ruh is a very delicate body, and its special places are brain or the heart. But it is merged in the whole body like fire is merged in a burning coal. So after death, that kafiyat is not there, or that condition is not there. So connection and the ta'alluq with the body becomes weak. So when you understand this, now you must keep in mind that the barzakhi zindagi of a Nabi, the life in the qabr of a Nabi, it is more powerful than normal people, than ordinary people. The bodies are protected from being decomposed. And their wealth is not distributed. Their wives cannot marry any person. And their souls visit around in both the worlds freely without any restrictions. However, people don't have ihsas, or they don't see, or they don't observe, or they don't understand this kind of life. Even though the rules of Sharia are not implemented upon them after they taste the death. But in reality, they read namaz as well, and they remain busy in the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, as on the night of Miraj. All the prophets alayhimus salam, 124,000 more or less prophets alayhimus salam, they read namaz behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Baitul Maqdis. And at the time of the last Hajj, Hijjatul Wida', many prophets alayhimus salam participated in the Hajj, as our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us. Also keep in mind that the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the mothers of ummatis, because of ihtiram and because of respect, not from the legal point of view. That is the reason that parda, or covering of them from ummatis, is farz. And normal Muslims can make nikah with their children, like Hazrat Fatima, Hazrat Zainab, wa Hazrat Kulsoom, who were the daughters of Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha. They got married to Hazrat Ali, Abu al-As, and Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And they don't get firasat, or inheritance, from normal Muslims, and normal Muslims don't get virasat or inheritance from them. So from here we understand that their being mother is for respect reason, not because of the blood ties or the legal status. Legal status, legal issues are different, and respect issues are different. So they are regarded as mothers of believers for the respect reason. As far as shuhada are concerned, their lives are not so strong like the lives of prophets alayhimus salam. So their inheritance is distributed, and their widows, after they complete their iddat, they can make nikah with whomsoever they desire. But they, like angels in very delicate bodies, they visit Jannat every way, and they also do tasarruf, and they have ikhtiyar and power to do many things in the dunya as well. Keep in mind that the life of dunya, in comparison to life of barzakh, that is after death, is like a thought, is very small, very tiny. And the life of barzakh in comparison with the life of hashr is like a small thought, it's like a dream. In other words, that after death, person will see towards the dunya and he will think, it was so small, it was just like a dream. It is mentioned in Quran Kareem, when those kuffar who lived many centuries in this world, and when they will be called for reckoning, for accountability, they will say, they did not live in the dunya but for a moment, but for a second. So because now they're looking back in the dunya, it looks like a moment, it looks like a sa'at, it looks like just a dream. So therefore, anbiya and awliya and shuhada, they reach into Jannat after they taste the death, but this entry is ruhani, is spiritual. So their bodies and the ruh would be in Jannat after Hashr. So the first entry in Jannat is like a dream, is like a khab. And as far as the general public is concerned, their souls and bodies both will enter into Jannat after Hashr. But Anbiya, Awliya, Shuhada, Salihin, their souls enter paradise before their bodies, and after Hashr, after Qiyamah, then bodies and soul both would be in Jannat. Sayyid al-Shuhada, this is an issue that we need to explain, because there are always questions, who is Sayyid al-Shuhada, who is the leader of martyrs? Keep in mind that because of some actions and activities and hardships, the sawab of shahadat can increase. And that's the reason a shaheed is called Sayyid al-Shuhada. You know, there is a type of shaheed who gets kafan, who gets dafan. And there's other shaheed who's kept hungry before the martyrdom. So he faces a lot of pain and difficulties. And after death, he is not given kafan, he is not buried properly. Rather, the enemies will bring their horses and let them run over their bodies. So the second one is indeed greater in sawab than the first one, because his pain is more, his difficulties are more. As far as Sahaba Ikram are concerned, who is Sayyid al-Shuhada amongst them? Some have said Hazrat Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. Some have said Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. Some have said that Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. And some have said Hazrat Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala. So it's very difficult to decide. As in Persian it is said, Har gulera rango bue digarast. For every flower there is different color and different fragrance. But all these great people are Sayyid al-Shuhada from different aspects. Let's take the example of Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His departing from this dunya is very similar to the departure, apparent departure of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam from this dunya. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's passing away from this dunya happened with the poison of Khaybar that stayed in the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and then activated. And that became the reason that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away from this dunya. He departed, he migrated from this dunya. And as far as Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq is concerned, his passing away was because of the poison of snake which bit him in Ghar-e Thawr, in the cave. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's departing from this dunya took place on Monday, and the passing away of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala happened on one day later, that was on Tuesday. And on the night when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this world, there was no oil in the house to burn in the lamp. And when Hazrat Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was leaving this world, there was no money to buy kafan. So in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a loan was taken to buy some oil to have some light. And here, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was given kafan in the used clothes. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu became Sayyid al-Shuhada because he was martyred in the land of Madinatul Munawwara in Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif on the Musalla of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Namaz-e-Fajr. He was busy in Namaz-e-Fajr. So he was martyred. These two great shaykhain, great personalities, are buried next to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hazrat Usman-e-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu is Sayyid al-Shuhada because he was martyred in Madinatul Munawwara. While he was reciting Quran Pak, and he exercised such patience that he did not fight back with the enemies, with the killers. He did not even lift his hand to protect himself from them, and he stopped everyone else that nobody must fight with them. Because he said, I don't want bloodshed in the city of Madinatul Munawwara. So he passed away in this condition, and then his blood dropping on Quran-e Kareem, and for 3 days he did not have water in his house, he was thirsty. And as far as Hazrat Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu is concerned, he is Sayyid al-Shuhada, because from Adam alayhi salam till today, nobody went through so many pains and miseries and difficulties. He is Mujahid, he is Ghazi, he is Sayyid. He is stranger, he is traveler. Be-yaro madadgar, there is nobody to help him. Fasting continuously for 3 days. Children accompanied him, they were ill. He left everything on the trust of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then he was engaged in namaz. And in that state, he was made shaheed. He was attacked and he became martyr. And then after that, the enemies made their horses run over his body. And instead of his wife being in the iddat, staying at home, she was made prisoner, moved from city to city. So many of the Sahaba Ikram are called Sayyid al-Shuhada for different reasons, and they all have a beautiful reason to be Sayyid al-Shuhada. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us death with shahadat in the city of Madinatul Munawwara, under the shade of Gumbad-e-Khazra. May we be buried in Jannatul Baqi. Ameen bi jahin Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatun wa salamun alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah.
It's my plea that the message of the Quran be widely spread. May the flag of Islam